from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Annoy people on the quiet car and call the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Uh-huh. Still here, inside the 1 o'clock hour this morning on The Fan. KM to 2 a.m. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, taking your calls, talking sports, doing the job. Al Cintron comes up in the next 50 minutes, so let me add my Mets thoughts and takes, man. I just was so proud of the Mets. These are my Mets. The Make It Happen Mets. I just was happy to see them fight back and win another 4-3 game with a walk-off homer. TWTW, the will to win. They have it as a unit, as a collective. In my open tonight, I talked about how the Yankees have it with two guys. But the Mets have it. It could be anybody. And it's infectious. They have a squad. They have a team. Lindor going out there hustling. Even Pete Alonso getting thrown out. Come on, Pete. But he's hustling. He's trying. Like Lindor going out there, just a knock and a little spank, a little smack. And then the homer, Lindor putting himself in rare air. The only MLB shortstop ever with 25 homers and 25 steals in three or more seasons. Like, this guy is worth the money. He just starts off slow and you feel like you're not getting a return on your investment, but he's one of the best shortstops in the league. Like, we were actually having a conversation in the beginning of this year. Who would you want, Lindor or Volpe? Come on now. Volpe's young. Volpe's got some time. I'm a Volpe guy, obviously. I've put the onus on the Yankees with Volpe, not to get off the track with the Mets. I just saw Volpe double. And I'm glad Volpe is standing up with all the talk around him. You know, we got a lot of people that are just baseball nerds. We got a lot of people that are just like podcasters and video editors that are weighing in with their number crunching and saying who is who and what is what. And it's like, listen, man, the guys that played the game, the guys that are there day in and day out, they're making the decisions. They all know that Volpe is a player. He's a guy. And they're sticking with him for a reason. It isn't just numbers. It isn't just what we see on the outside. It's how he goes about his business every day. He's a good kid and he works hard and he's going to come through. And back to the Mets, they have a lot of guys coming through. Speaking of kids, Mark Vientos coming through. That guy's going to be a 25-30 homer guy this year. Who had that? Nobody predicted that. Find me the preseason articles that Mark Vientos was going to hit 25-30 homers. None after you signed J.D. Martinez. Jose Iglesias, story of the year. Francisco Alvarez, he wants to get into the postseason. I talked about Mendoza and how Mendoza said they're going to lean on the experience from 2022. He wasn't there, but he knows that those guys won 101 games, and they want some retribution. They want some payback. They want to avenge that season, get back to the postseason, and make some noise. And if it comes down to them and the Braves, here we go again. 888-808-1019. I'm looking at this upcoming series, and a lot of times I listen to the Mets on 880 because I use Fubo TV, and they made a decision this year that the Mets didn't need to be on Fubo TV. They got rid of SNY, and they picked up the YES Network. So a lot of times I'm listening to 880, and if the games are on at the same time, I'm listening to Howie Rose call the Mets game, and I'm watching the Yankees game. But I want to watch these games coming up because they're late-night games, so there will not be a conflict with the Yankees, their West Coast games, and the pitching matchups have lined up perfectly. They're going to be excellent. You get Luis Severino versus Dylan Cease tonight at 9:45 p.m. Then you get Paul Blackburn versus Joe Musgrove Friday at 9:40 p.m. And then you get David Peterson versus Michael King Saturday at 8:40 p.m. And then we'll see if Jose Quintana can give you something. We'll see if he can just get out of his own way against Martin Perez in the last game of that series. And let's go, Mets. Let's go, Mets. It's time. You're in it now. Like, this is postseason energy, postseason feel. I feel like this series that you just played against the Orioles, who are going to be a postseason team, had that. And you rose to the occasion, walking them off to take the first game and the third game. You're going to need to stay in games and fight against the Padres because they don't lose. And they have Tanner Scott. He's not Sir Anthony Dominguez. Mitchell is out in Queens. What's up, Mitchell? You're on the Fan.
Hey, good evening, or good morning, Keith, whatever it is. Love the show. Love hearing how you interact with guys out in the ballpark. It's really cool. So one of the things about the Mets, I would love for them to make a run this year. It just seems so daunting with the gauntlet that is the NL. But I love Mendoza and David Stearns and all the fines that David Stearns has had. And it's a little puzzling how the Yankees let Mendoza out the building. And I wanted to make one more point, but I just wanted to hear your stuff on that.
I think everybody in the Yankee organization knew it was a matter of time, but I don't think anybody thought it would be this year, and specifically with the Mets. I think all of us thought Craig Counsell was potentially coming over here from Milwaukee. Nobody had Mendoza penciled as their 1B. But he's been great. He's got such a rapport with the Latin players. He's such a steady hand. He's so calm. You don't see him get fired up unless it's, you know, to go after an ump or fight for his guys. And like when you have that personality, that mentality, that confidence, these guys follow up. And I think that they're on a mission. And to think about all of the low moments the Mets have had this season, they still have had so many great moments. And they kind of washed away. Every low moment has been washed away by another triumphant moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. The one thing that I think is very ironic, and I think Tiki and Evan were doing this, I believe it was on Tuesday, of like, if you're the Yankees, who would you not want to see? And it's crazy in a year where you would think that they would put everything together, I would think the Yankees would be scared out of their mind to see the Astros. I think they are the team to beat in the AL, as crazy as that sounds. It, with all the lacklusterness that they have, I still think they are the team to beat in the AL with everything that's going on.
I want no smoke with the Houston Astros. I'm tired of the season ending with them. I hear the Yankee fans that are being fake tough guys right now, like, yeah, we want to exercise our demons. I just was talking about retribution. I can't even say that. Retribution. I just was talking about revenge, like the Mets with the Braves. I just don't see it. I just see the Yankees getting in a series with the Astros and having to go to Houston and them getting bad flashbacks, bad memories of not being able to get it done.
Also, so that's something that you don't want to see either.
Verlander's back. Christian Javier.
And Valdez is a good lefty, which is even harder for the Yankees.
Or Framber Valdez. Christian Javier is hurt, right? I think Christian Javier.
Verlander is supposed to be back this week or next week.
Verlander just came back today, yes, I believe. Christian Javier is out. I'm thinking of Framber Valdez.
So Valdez is supposed to be back. And
He's been problem. Back and he's been shoving.
He's a problem.
So I don't want that problem because this lineup, they'll pitch around Judge and Soto, and this lineup, it'll just be Ks, strikeouts, groundouts, pop-ups in foul territory. And Yankee fans, be careful what you wish for. You do not want the saga to continue with Houston putting us out again.
Keith, love the time. I just wanted to ask one question, and I'll hang up. What do you think about the Packers' chances to come out of the NFC?
I like the Packers. I mean, I'll take it from here. Thanks for the call, Mitchell. I hate the Packers as a Dallas Cowboys fan. Dez caught it. Jared Cook catching that ball on the sideline from Aaron Rodgers. Last year with Aaron Jones and Jordan Love and those guys balling on us. Like, as a Dallas Cowboys fan, you got to hate the cheeseheads. They signed Josh Jacobs, though. They got him in tandem with A.J. Dillon. Like, those are two bruisers running the ball up the middle. They're young, and sometimes ignorance is bliss. you don't know what you don't know. They don't know that the stage is too big. Like, they didn't know the stage was too big last year, first round of the playoffs. They were this close to beating the 49ers. Jordan Love is paid now. That defense is more solid than they get credit for. Xavier McKinney's over there now. They draft well. The Packers are just a solid organization. And I think they're quietly now looking at the Lions like, yeah, we're coming for you. The Vikings aren't going to be any good. The Bears, they're not going to be that good. They're going to be all right. They're going to surprise some people. They have some talent. But they have a rookie quarterback. And I think, you know, I actually got to watch Hard Knocks. But I think that division is the Lions division. But the Packers are young and they're hungry. And after the experience they gained last year getting to the second round of the playoffs and almost beating the Niners, and then the Niners go on to the Super Bowl, like I think that they've got a good shot to be a contender in the NFC. 888-808-1019. Other things from the Giants practice, like Malik Nabers was interviewed, and he said the Jets won the day, right? He said, we beat ourselves today. Reporters are asking him, like, what happened out there? Connor Hughes said the only highlight from Malik Nabers was like a 15-yard pass where he shook Sauce Gardner. Sauce Gardner, it's like, whatever. Sauce Gardner didn't really get matched up on him. Rob Saleh tried to sing Malik Nabers' praises. So he's already made a name for himself in the area. He's an elite competitor, freaky. You could argue that he could have been the number one receiver taken. He's a special talent. But Rob Saleh knows, like, he's a rookie. As a rookie, he's not doing anything against my defense. The Jets' defense is an elite defense. And if they have Aaron Rodgers actually going out there and scoring points where they don't have to play being down, where they can really pin their ears back, having a lead, it's going to be a long day for opposing offenses. 888-808-1019. The rest of my calls are Yankees. Judge, Yankees. And that's fine. That's what I'm here to talk about. Jake is out in Brooklyn. What's up, Jake? You're next on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Keith? How's your night going?
It's going, man. I'm just thinking about going home, going to sleep, waking up, and driving to the stadium to see Garrett Cole pitch.
Nice. So I got a comment and a question. So I'm going to start off with my comment.
Okay.
I just wanted to talk about Judge's two home runs tonight, which was absolutely phenomenal. I went to the game tonight. It was really electric. I just wanted to say I really think that Judge is a top three Yankee of all time. Well, he looks like he's going to be a top three Yankee of all time. Like,
yeah,
home runs, everything. He's phenomenal. He's generational.
Need a ring.
Really.
We got to get him to the World Series. And if he can hit home runs, because in the World Series, they're going to have to pitch to him. Like, we need a ring.
We do need a ring. He needs at least two before he retires, if I'm going to be honest. He's really generational. I've never seen someone like him in baseball. I mean, Shohei, of course, but come on.
No, it's different. I mean, Judge is like, it's baseball. Hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do in sports. And Judge makes it look way too easy.
He looks like he puts it on rookie mode, man. It's crazy. And so my question is, do you think Judge can beat his own record with 62 home runs this year?
If they keep pitching to him, yeah. I tweeted it out before some of the reporters today. When he hit that second home run, I said, oh, Judge is on pace for 60 now, because coming into the game, he's on pace for 58. He adds two. If they keep pitching to him, yeah, anything can happen. Because like when he did that, I mean, he did that out of nowhere. It was the first time he did that, and there was so much pressure and so much talk and so much hype. If he does it again and he's got Soto batting in front of him, if they keep pitching to him, yeah, some people think it could happen again.
Yeah, it's really crazy. He's just wild, but a lot of people keep on intentionally walking him, so it's pretty aggravating, in my opinion.
Nah, see, like, teams like the Guardians that are a first-place team that are competing, they haven't been intentionally walking them. They haven't been pitching around them. They've been challenging them. They've been trying to get them out. And there are more teams coming up that are going to have to try and do that.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Jake. We actually have more bums on the schedule. And as the season gets to the end, like, Colorado, they can pitch around Judge. Washington, they can pitch around Judge. St. Louis is still kind of in the hunt. I saw Arenado had a grand slam for them to beat the Brewers tonight. So maybe in that Cardinals series, maybe the Cardinals try and go at Judge. Texas, Chicago, Kansas City, Boston, Seattle. Yeah, they're going to have to pitch to Judge. They're not going to be able to pitch around Judge. Baltimore late in the year. Anything. It's on the table. Let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. Paul, you're back on the Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith, it's good to see you again. Hey, listen, I just want to say one thing. Make the stadium loud again. I'm reading your shirt with the Soto Judge 24, and I'm so thrilled that someone thought about this and that you're wearing that tonight, because, you know, between the RNC and the DNC and all this other stuff that's outside of sports, this makes sense. And you know what? If that was on the ticket, I'd be voting for that right now.
So shout out to BV, Ball Vinny, the most popular creature of all time. We had the Pinstripe Pride event, which is like our Yankee Fan Fest at American Dream back in February. He made those shirts in the winter. And when I saw him, he showed me that. I'm like, I need that. He gave it to me free. He knows. He's like, you're going to wear it and people are going to buy it. So here you go.
Well, guess what? He has a buyer and I'm a purchaser and I love it. So, you know, here's the thing. You know, I've been a Yankee fan since 1967, when I was like, you know, 3 or 4 years old. I'm watching on the black and white TV with, you know, Bill White and Phil Rizzuto and all these guys, you know, talking on WPIX. And I'm now at a point where I'm not jaded at all. You know, I love the entire run that we had, you know, between, you know, the 96 to the 2000 series and all that other stuff. But what I'm watching right now is magic. It's this thing of, wow, I'm watching Gehrig and Ruth come alive before my eyes, and they're not even trying. They're not looking back at it. It's just happening. And I just, you know, as a Yankee fan, and for all the Yankee fans there that are listening, what a wonderful time, no matter what happens this season, because it's a wacky season throughout Major League Baseball where we have about 8 teams that could win it all. And we don't know how that's going to happen in the playoffs. But my goodness, what a time we're living in that we can actually see, at least for this season, an amazing, historic way of baseball being played the right way.
Yeah, it's rare. It doesn't happen in every city. You know, there are teams that they wish they had one of Juan Soto and Judge, and the tandem can win a game like tonight where they score all 8 runs. They drive in all 8 runs, and if you chose to go to this game versus going to the game I went to, you picked the right game. It's fun. It's rare. It's exciting. You know, you just heard young Jake call in and say he went to the game. Like, to see these kids' faces when Judge goes deep or when, so like, it's just people are just hugging each other and slapping hands and screaming and jumping up and down, and it's lit. So, you know, I want it to continue. My biggest fear is that it doesn't continue through October, and somehow, you know, some of these other holes on the team, some of these guys underperforming on the team, bring down these ridiculous two players that we have.
Right, you know, and so when we let's roll back to Sunday during the Little League deal. I was actually, it was a horrible way to lose, and yada yada yada. But at the end of the day, what those players brought to those kids. And the joy, and you know, me wanting to be back in Little League and be, you know, part of that entire inspiring thing. There was like a handoff of a generation of baseball that baseball is going to be okay, and this generation of Yankees brought that spirit to those kids. It was almost like, yeah, you know, it sucked that they lost in a horrible way that they lost, but at the end of the day, it was almost like it was okay. And, you know, and I hate to be like that, especially since we're in such a tense time about who's going to win and yada, yada, yada. It brought baseball back to basics, and it's about the kids.
Yeah. You know, first off, the way that game ended, like, it sucked for Yankee fans, and there's a ton of Yankee fans, but there's a ton of Yankee haters. So a nationally televised game like that, Sunday Night Baseball, to end like that, a walk-off where the Yankees blow it, like, Tarek Skubal goes out there and gives up one run on a wild pitch, and the Yankees, like Clay Holmes comes out. That a lot of people went to sleep happy Sunday night. A lot of people smiled and laughed that one off. But I used to go to...
Yeah, but you know what? I don't care about those people.
But I'm telling you, for the national audience, it's the same thing with the Dallas Cowboys. That's why I call the Cowboys America's team to laugh at. When the Cowboys blow it on Sunday night football, there are a lot of people sleeping good. But for those kids, like, I used to go out there for camp, and I would go look at the museum and see all of these different kids from all over the world that come there for the Little League World Series. And what I said about it is, some of those kids will never make it to Yankee Stadium. Some of those kids will never see the Yankees
live.
For them to get to see this version of the Yankees with Juan Soto and Aaron Judge, those kids will never forget that. And that's why the Yankees brand travels the way it does, and that's why the Yankees got to get back to winning a World Series, because there will be kids in China, in Japan, in Panama, you know,
and
all these places watching the World Series. And some of those kids will be able to say, yeah, when we went out to the Little League World Series, I got to see Juan Soto do the shuffle live. I got to see Aaron Judge live. He signed my hat.
Right. Look, and just one thing about the Cowboys. I can't wait for Dak Prescott to be the next quarterback for the New York Giants next season. And I will leave you on that.
Thank you. You don't want that. Ah, man. One. Dak Prescott is going to command the largest quarterback contract in the NFL, which is going to be $60 million, when he hits free agency this year. Dak Prescott has gotten to the level of quarterbacking where, like, I remember 2 years ago when everybody was talking about all the interceptions that he threw, and I was coming on here defending him. Like, I watched the games. They're not all on him. Yeah, it looks bad, but a lot of those are tipped. A lot of those are off the hands of the receiver, whatever, blah, blah, blah. They need to sign CeeDee Lamb immediately and get him into camp. But for the Giants fans, your quarterback is Daniel Jones. I don't think for long. I think this is the last season. What you need is what I was saying you needed last year when we were watching them win all those stupid games where I was saying, tank Dell, tank Bisbee, tank. I couldn't even think of any other tanks. I remember saying it's an A shirt, it's a tank, it's a sleeveless tank. What are you doing? There's some other tanks in the NFL. Tank Bigsby from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tank Dell from the Houston Texans. What other tank was? Gervonta Tank Davis. Tank. There are quarterbacks coming. I knew in this class of quarterbacks, I'm like, yo, look at the Broncos are about to start Bo Nix. Could have taken him. Is he better than Daniel Jones? We might see if he's better than Daniel Jones in the next 2 months. Michael Penix Jr. They're not even playing Michael Penix Jr. in the preseason. He's injury prone, or at least he's got an injury history. Drake May, Jaden Daniels. You were never getting Caleb Williams. But if you would have lost to the Commanders, lost to the Patriots, lost to the Packers, how did Tommy DeVito and the Giants beat the Packers? Packers weren't ready to play in the swirling winds of the Meadowlands. Lose those games, because what you need is the quarterback to go with this new regime of your head coach and GM. They need their quarterback. Brian Daboll needs their quarterback. And then the Giants rebuild will really like go where it needs to go, and it'll really start. 888-808-1019. It's not Tommy DeVito either. He's not the answer. Yo, Mo, yo. My guy Mo, 203 on both sides of the phone. What's good?
What's going on, Keith? How you doing, man? How's your night so far?
It's all right. A couple minutes left in here. Getting my push-ups in during the breaks.
There you go. Well, listen, I want to give a shout-out, actually, to all your callers. This tonight has been, like, amazing. Like, all your callers are on point, making solid points, bringing up great questions. And I think a lot of that has to do with you. You know, whenever anyone calls you, it's almost like they're talking to their friends. They're not talking to a host. I think that's a credit to you and how you treat your listeners, and I really appreciate that, which is why I keep calling in.
Of course.
I'm thinking of going tomorrow. Might see you. I've got two quick points. I want to see what you say. The first one is, first of all, the one thing I noticed in that debacle against the Indians is that I think I posted this in chat. I think that we may have found our new closer. and a lot of people have been pining for him. But, you know, Cousins was lights out, two innings, and every at-bat. I don't know if you watched the game, but I was watching every at-bat and every swing, and it was an uncomfortable at-bat for every single Indians pitcher, Indians hitter. And he went toe-to-toe, you know, for two innings with, in my opinion, the best closer in baseball.
Emmanuel Clase. I'll say this. It got a little bit shaky, but he wasn't shaking, you know? Like, I'm trying to go back to the box score. He wasn't shaken by the moment.
Don't forget the drop ball, by the ball that should have been caught by Verdugo. He just shook it off.
Yeah.
That, like, 12 or 13 pitch at bat. I mean, this is the guy I want to see in the ninth inning. You know, and then that was my first point. The second point that I have is a little unconventional, but if you notice that ever since Trevino came back, the pitching has gotten a little bit better, actually a lot better. You know, we had that 1-0, you know, going into the ninth with Clay Holmes against the Tigers. We had the, you know, the nice game
where
they ended up losing an extra inning.
So Trevino, you know I said Trevino is going to help the rotation in the bullpen. That's why they're going to play him as well. His pitch framing, he's a platinum glove catcher. And, like, Trevino, not for nothing, he's a Dallas Cowboys fan. I've been around Trevino a handful of times. I won't say he's my friend, but if we were in the same room, he'd be like, yo, what's up, Keith? And I've talked to him about baseball stuff. Susan Waldman, I remember talking about how, like, he takes these intricate notes. He's a student of the game, how much he helped Kyle Higashioka. I'm sure he's helping Austin Wells. It's not just about Austin Wells and his bat, even though we all want to see that bat in the lineup. They also love Trevino in the clubhouse. He's going to play.
Well, here's the point I wanted to say. You know, we've already tried it with one guy, and you know what? He needs a little more seasoning. But why not play Trevino and Wells and put Wells on the days that he's not catching because you want his bat?
First base. Yeah. Michael Kay was talking about that. I said it before. Michael Kay said it today. I said it last night because I am in there, and I couldn't believe, like, I'm sitting with JJ and with John Jastrzemski and his whole family, and, like, we could not believe we were sitting in direct eyesight of first base. We could not believe DJ LeMahieu didn't step on first base. Thanks for the call, Mom. I'm just like, what level of baseball do you field that ball as a first baseman and miss the base and then throw it to second? What are you doing? How do you short circuit like that? 888-808-1019. I've got about 23 minutes left. If you'd like to join the show, call now. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Okay, 15 minutes left. I've got 5 calls. Everybody can get about 3 minutes. Let's try to do that. Al Cintron comes up next. And this is Keith McPherson on The Fan. Let me wrap this thing up. Steve is in Rockland. Steve, you got it.
Hey, Keith. So, you know, something has been bothering me for a long time. And it has to do with the fact that Judge, people were booing Judge earlier in the year. And all I could think of when people were doing this was that, you know, this is a guy who literally would run through a wall, literally run through a wall.
He did.
To catch a baseball to save a game for you. And the best you could do, if this is how you repay him. So here's what I want to do. I want to issue the Steve from Rockland, Keith McPherson Show Challenge. Okay. If you boo Judge and you know who you are, you know who you are if you're listening, call the show, admit what you did, and beg for forgiveness. Okay?
It'll never happen. I was in there when they booed him in the postseason, and I was in there when they booed him in the beginning of this year. I was in there when they booed him his the year he didn't take the contract and he hit 62. They were booing him that year because it took him like 13 games to hit his first homer. They call it the Bronx cheer for a reason. It is just something that Yankee fans do after a couple beers.
Well, not all Yankee fans.
Not me. I don't go there to boo. I didn't boo DJ LeMahieu two nights ago. The fans were booing his ass, and I didn't mind it because I was confused like what was going on with the guy. But yeah, Judge doesn't deserve that. But I've been in there when they boo Judge, and I'm just like, they boo Judge. They boo Judge this year. It was John Sterling Day, I think. It was.
I hope if I'm in the stadium that nobody near me is going to boo that guy. I just can't. I don't know how that would go. But I want to say something about the pitching. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So think about where the Yankees were, you know, this 162 one game seasonitis thing that I like to talk about. So think about where the Yankees were about 3 weeks ago with Nestor and Stroman. Right. And I don't know what they've done. I don't know what they did, but they're getting results. And here's how I feel. And with that, here's how I feel about Holmes. Okay. That's a guy, okay, who, you know, you were able to, at least at the beginning of the season, you know, you rode him as the closer, and they were 50-22. All right. So with a guy like that, it's something to do with the swat of his own, whatever that is, whatever that whimsical thing is when you pitch, when you throw the type of ball that he throws, that high velocity pitch that's going like down, you know, that's the 98 mile an hour sinker. And once he finds that arm slot, it could be magical. That's all I'm saying.
Going to need the defense behind him. Thanks for the call, Steve. I'm not worried so much about Clay Holmes because there's nothing we can do about it. Clay Holmes was fine last time. We didn't need him today. The thing is, he's the closer. They don't have better options. I'm not so worried about Clay. They got a hit, and it can't come down to Clay Holmes. Let's just, you know, continue. And, yeah, I went back to look. It was against Tampa. The Yankees lost 2-0 to Tampa in April. April 20th, 4/20. Judge went 0-4 with 4 Ks. He DH'd that day. He was batting 179. Yeah, they booed his ass. Joe is up in the Bronx. What's up, Joe? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, great show. I just want to commend you, how you speak to the young listeners. Man, that's amazing. And before I make my point, I want to say God bless. I haven't had a chance to call you, and God bless your son and your wife and yourself, obviously.
Thank you.
I have my own baby. My one son is serving in the U.S. Army, and you know, we miss him. And God bless you. And I just want to say, as a Met fan, Keith, I honestly have never seen anything like Judge. The one person that sticks out was in the 90s. It was a guy called Albert Bell. I mean, he's a bit of a head case, but had all the tools. Mm-hmm. And what are your thoughts of that, Keith?
Yeah, you know, some of the videos and the clips of Albert Bell, he was a monster. And he wasn't very likable. Guys didn't like him.
No,
and that's why he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, he really wasn't. But like I said, as a Mets fan, I've never seen, and I'm 54 years old, I've never seen somebody hit like the way Judge does. And have a great night, man. God bless you, brother.
Thanks for the call, Joe. I can't imagine my son being a grown man and going to the military. I'm not even there yet. Like, my son leaves with the, you know, the daycare or the nanny, or will be with, like, my wife's mom or my wife, and I, like, can't wait to see him again. Like, it's crazy. Having a kid is the craziest thing to do. I definitely advise some of you young guys to wait on that. But, yeah, with Judge, He is the best baseball player I've ever seen, and I'm talking complete package of a guy. Like, I think that whole nonsense with the Staten Island baseball coach is, like, ridiculous. Like, come on, bro. Talking about, Judge, I've seen Judge for years now, how he is with people, how he is with kids specifically. To try and throw dirt on his name and run with something like that, that's crazy. Like, Judge is a leader, a captain. You never hear a bad thing about him off the field. You never hear a bad story about how he treated anybody. He does so much for charity, for kids, for camps. He's a giant. And, he hits for average. He hits for power, works walks, intentional walks, doesn't want to take his hit by pitch. Pound for pound, he's just the best player I've seen. He's ridiculous. Barry Bonds was great, but he was on steroids. And I told you guys, I wasn't staying up to watch Barry Bonds when I was in seventh grade. Like, I just can't. As a grown man, I've been able to see Aaron Judge. Like, I've been going to Yankee Stadium consistently since Judge came up. So I feel like I've seen 100 Judge homers live. Hope it continues. Hope it continues this year into October, into the postseason. Matt is in Woodstock, Connecticut. What's up, Matt? You're on the Fan.
Keith, how you doing, my man?
Good, good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, of course. I got two things for you. One question I want to know, because with the Yankees, we never know what the postseason is going to look like. So regardless, let's say the season ends today. What's your top priority for the offseason? And I also want to know your favorite moment from Fanatics Fest this past weekend, because that was awesome, your coverage and your show. Besides, outside of your show, what your favorite moment from that was.
If the season ended today, and let's assume the Yankees don't win the World Series.
Right.
My priority isn't, like, who do we bring in, like a starting pitcher or whatever. If the Yankees don't win the World Series, the priority is to retain Juan Soto and get all the money off the books that you possibly can. Rizzo, goodbye. Gleyber, goodbye.
Right.
Clay Holmes, goodbye. Right. Verdugo, goodbye. Like, I'm clearing out space for young kids to come up and to pay Juan Soto $550, $580, whatever it is, for this guy to finish his career in pinstripes and be in tandem with Aaron Judge. And my favorite moment from Fanatics Fest, for me personally, it was, and I still don't know who did it. I don't know. I got to find out who did this. Like, I almost cried, but I already cried on the radio twice. I almost cried when I looked to my right and Gary V waved to me. And I realized he was setting up to come on the show. He is somebody I admire. He is somebody that it gets credit for me being here, because when I quit my job, his voice was in my head. I used to watch a lot of his content, and
yep.
I have been putting out into the universe on Twitter and Instagram, one day I'm going to meet Gary Vee. One day I'm going to meet him. I never envisioned Fanatics Fest didn't exist, so there was no way for me to envision a Fanatics Fest at the Javits Center, me hosting a show there, and for me to meet him as a guest on my show. But other than that, like, outside of my show, I wasn't planning on going Saturday. Friday, I went 12 to 3 just to support BT, Sal, Evan, and Tiki, and then I had to go pick up my son. So I, no matter what, I was leaving. It went to 7 o'clock, but I had to leave by 2:45 because I had to pick up my son. And I left, and I was sad. I felt like a little kid being, like, dragged to the car, like, out of Disneyland.
Right?
I wasn't planning on going Saturday. My mom was going to come up to see my son. I had her come up Monday, and I said, Mom, what I saw in there was absolutely ridiculous. I have to go back tomorrow. And Saturday, I had the most fun because I didn't have to work, and I just showed up in, like, full Yankee gear by myself and ran around, and I met a bunch of people. I took selfies with people, signed stuff for people. Andrew Perloff pulled me in to do a live podcast with him, so I got, like, a quick feel for how the WFAN set was. And I got to just get free giveaways, and I got to just be a fan amongst the fans. I got to throw the football around. I got to shoot the basketball. I got to run around, and I'm just like, this is sick, and I hope it goes on every single year. Fanatics Fest was amazing.
Yeah, man. I mean, all of that, just those experiences must have been an unreal fan, and you deserve it all, brother. Like, just from the show to, like, everyone's preaching, you're fans and how you treat everyone. And I'm hoping you break your streak tomorrow at the game. I hope it's a win. I know you were talking about
that. Yeah, like I'm over my last four. I need this win.
Right? Yeah.
I need this
win. We'll get there.
Thanks for the call, Matt. 888-808-1019. I've got 4 minutes for two more calls. If you call now, you'll be on with Al. Let's go to Ross in Bergen County. Ross is back on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. How's it going, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm going to try to be quick. Yeah, so listen, real quick. Actually, you know, I'll just get right to the Mets. So listen, with the Winker walk-off, obviously, just seems probably the best walk-off if you look throughout the league. Celebration, all that already. One ups Alvarez 2 days later. Just overall, I think one thing that gets lost in it is Manaea, man. Just another gem. I think he took a perfecto up until I hit by pitch. And, of course, a pitch later is when it all unraveled and they tied it up. And then, you know, the odds of this team gives its fans, man, was it the eighth inning? The bases loaded. That was supposed to be no one on, two outs with the strike three that wasn't called would have tagged out the runner in second. Just overall, man, the walk-off. And then, meanwhile, you see, you know, I was talking last night, hyping up San Diego, and Minnesota went for the jugular tonight. I think it was like 11-4 final. So I guess if there's a time to go stomping into San Diego, it's now of all days when they look a little shorthanded, you know, not their best showing tonight. And listen, I was at the Miami games, you know, I was telling you last night, Arizona, man, just another, you know, the kind of the comeback instinct with them tonight. They were down, I think, 7-4 at one point to Miami. He came back and won the game. So, you know, it's preaching the choir, like I said yesterday, but listen, one game at a time, got to take it tonight and bounce back off the win versus Baltimore, which, by the way, real quick, you know, we don't have to deal with them the rest of the year, but there, I don't think there is more of an overrated team this week than the Baltimore Orioles. And, you know, the rare three-game stretch, I was happy to help out your Yankees, because I don't know if you ever saw that meme of the guy dressed up casual versus in the tuxedo, but the tuxedo is going to be me when the Baltimore Orioles fall out of a wild card spot, man. But anyways, appreciate the time.
Thanks for the call, Ross. Ross is like on vacation in Miami in a hotel room calling the Fan. Got to be quiet. I saw he was at Marlins Park. I think they call it Lone Depot Park now. 15 minutes before first pitch, there's like eight people in their seats. That place is ridiculous. Nobody goes to games down there. Definitely now that they traded people away. Then in Marlboro, last call goes to you. Go for it.
So on, Keith. Haven't talked to you in about a month. You know, it's funny. I feel like every day now, you know, as a Jet and a Met fan, I just don't have any idea what to control with my emotions any longer. I mean, there's so many positives, and there's just so many negatives every day. Like, I look at the schedule ahead for the Mets, I have no idea what to expect, to be completely honest with you. I mean, we're playing good, but it's just like, man, this bullpen, everything, I just can't not hold my breath every single time I see them drop somebody out there besides Buto. And then, of course, I know, like, last month we were joking around. We were saying there's no way Reddick's going to hold out. And, I mean, man, was I wrong on that. I mean, I guess I feel a little bit better seeing you guys deal with CD a little bit about it. But, man, oh, man, they just need to figure that out and, you know, be able to come into the season swinging hard because, you know.
Week one, so good on paper, I think he'll be back. And not for nothing, like, at least he's not, like, part of, like, an offense where he's got to be, you know, like, he's just got to rush the passer. Like, he's not gonna need too much time.
Yeah, I sure hope so. But you know, I saw the highlights obviously out of camp today, and of course I got excited. But I'm just like, man, you're just waiting for that shoe to drop. So it's
Tack McKinley. Tack McKinley was not on my radar until Quinnen Williams mentioned him over the weekend, and I'm like, Tack McKinley, he raised hell against the Dallas Cowboys. If he's still got something left in the tank, you won't even be worrying about Hassan Reddick.
Well. And what's his name? Will McDonald looked pretty good with that spin.
Will McDonald, yeah. I mean, he's not the biggest guy, but he's got something to prove in year two.
All right, Keith. Take it easy.
Thanks for the call, Vin. Coming up next is Al Cintron. I will see you guys at Yankee Stadium for the rubber match between the Guardians and the Yankees. And then I will host a 5-hour KM to AM. I got to find some guests, and we'll lean more into the Jets and Giants conversation. We'll get ready for the Mets game out west at Petco Park. I'll get the first hour and some change of that. And, yeah, that'll be my last show, and then I'll be going to Atlanta. Thanks for listening tonight. Keep it locked right here. I'm out.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.